The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of diverseandengage.com. I'm a DEI thought leader, LinkedIn top voice, and I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hi there, Mita.
Hey there, Dee. I'm Mita Malik, a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller, a business leader, a LinkedIn top voice, and most importantly, a mom.
And Mita and I started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces. From my perspective as a Black woman and from Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. And at our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out. And then we provide you with tips you need on not how do you survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. All right. So Mita, let's jump in. Tell us, what are we talking about on today's show?
So today, here's what I want to ask you about, Dee, and here's what I want to talk to our community about. Do companies even do exit interviews anymore? What happened to the exit interview?
So, ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Thanks for joining us. We're going to spill the tea, share some stories, and leave the tips at the end. But Dee, what say you? You know, I was thinking about this. I've been at my current company for 4 years now, just about. Do you know my last two companies, I didn't get an exit interview? My last two companies, I didn't get an exit interview. So what are you hearing in the marketplace, particularly with all the clients that you work with?
Yeah, no, I remember. I am not hearing about exit interviews as a process anymore. And I think, again, because the rules have changed, I think employees or talent, let's just say, are more in control. And I think the departure isn't always as pretty as I think many, you know, companies would like it to be. So I think there's a bit of a fear and concern for those who are leaving and what they may hear. So I'm not seeing it or hearing it as a formal process any longer. Does that make sense?
No, you're right. And I'm going to challenge that in the marketplace. Like, exit interviews should not be canceled at all. And what I say is, imagine a world, Dee, imagine we lived in a world where we cared about our exit interviews the same way we care about customer reviews. Imagine that world. Imagine we're recording right now. And if I was like you and running my own business, and all of a sudden I got a negative customer review, I would hang up on all of you right now. Can't record, got to go talk to the customer. I got a 1-star rating on Amazon. Oh, got to ship them some product, got to make them happy, got to pick up the phone. We don't treat our employees that way. Our employees are the forgotten consumer. We don't want to believe the feedback people give us. We want to bury it. And so what I'm concerned about is the excuses. Well, Mita's just a pot stirrer, troublemaker. She's just annoyed. She's angry walking out the door. We don't want to hear what she has to think. So, you know, Dee, don't even do the exit interview.
Yeah, you're right. Talent is the forgotten consumer, but the first consumer or the best consumer, right? And there's a proximity there where it's uncomfortable. Because see, you can always take customer feedback from afar. And so if it's not good and it has you in your feelings and you're feeling some kind of way, well, you don't really have to be up close and personal with the customer unless like in retail kinds of experiences. But when we're talking about big business and you're talking about the fortunes, there's distance with feedback from a customer consumer. But the internal consumer, it's having to dance around and manage fragility. So whether it's corporate Aaron or corporate Todd, knowing that there's some tension there, we don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it, except there's some amazing insights you can be getting. Just like, you know, the old mantra, the customer's always right, which some people still prescribe to, right? I don't know what you think about that. Customer's always right. That's not true. The employee's not always right. But guess what? you hear all the voices and the insights, and then you start to think about, okay, what if I accepted that some of these things might be true? What would I change about my culture? What would I change about my culture? Because Mita lost 5 women of color in the last 4 weeks in our organization, and let's bury the exit interview. Let's not do the exit interview because we already know that Mita's the problem. So we don't, we're just going to ask recruiting to continue to fill bodies into those seats. We're not going to address the root cause.
Yeah. It's too inconsistent. It needs to be consistent. And I think it needs to have, you know, you have to manage it on both sides because you don't want the disgruntled employee on the way out the door to try to sabotage manager who was just trying to do his or her job. So I think to your point, it's on both sides, but I think it is, there's a big disconnect. I think also the disconnect from a business perspective is the middle folks. It's always, I think, a disconnect between senior executives and senior leaders who understand business at a very different level. And they're looking at things from a 30,000 foot view, overall business performance, and maybe how that feedback or exit interviews embedded within those exit interviews are gems and jewels. At the 30,000 foot view, yes, I see them as gems and jewels, perhaps. But in the middle of it all, do I, if I'm the HRB or the human resources business partner, or if I'm HR, if I'm the recruiter, do we want to hear? Do we want to stack that information? In fact, Mita, I'll tell you this. We've had clients who have no interest in looking at attrition that is attached to this exit interview and what people have to say. Fortune 10 dismissed everything or opted to prioritize everything else except attrition.
So let me get this straight. You don't care why your people are leaving. You don't care. You don't care. You don't care if it's because of a toxic boss, a toxic team. You don't care if they haven't been given advancement opportunities. You don't care if they're not getting paid enough. You don't care if their benefits aren't up to the marketplace and competitive. You just don't care. That's what I'm hearing.
It's sad.
It's so ridiculous because your people are the company. Shouldn't you want to know? Here, I will tell you, I worked at a company one time and we were losing women at an alarming rate. And I was wondering why. And so what did I do? Went to the data insights action. And what I found was there was women in a certain age bracket who were leaving because they were interested in family planning. And the company at the time didn't provide IVF, egg freezing, adoption, surrogacy. We did not have inclusive benefits for how people wanted to expand or start their families. And so that was something I worked really, as you know, really diligently on and got the company into a much better place. And we were named at that time number one company by Working Mother Media. And so if we hadn't done that work, we would have just kept losing women. And that's not the only reason women leave, but at the time, in that company's history, that's one of the insights we found. You know, women were also leaving for another reason. Later on, we discovered, guess why? They were leaving, as I talk about in Reimagine Inclusion, not because they were staying home or because their husbands were making more money, which is what leaders wanted to believe. They were leaving from the exit interview data we found because guess what? They wanted to go to smaller companies where they could get a better title and they could get equity. They didn't want to work in a Fortune 10 anymore. They wanted career advancement. They wanted a piece of the pie that they were working so hard for. And no one wanted to actually look at that data and say, hey, this is actually why women are leaving. They're not leaving to stay home. They're leaving to advance their career somewhere else. Oof, this gets me so riled up.
And that's not bad. I mean, the data, best conversations and best strategies are informed by data, right? Or at least data at the front line, first line. And then there's the qualitative. I really believe in both. And because as a Black woman, when we go into Fortune 500 corporations, when these insight surveys and feedback surveys, when they are not anonymous or when we are not protected, we tend not to participate or fully participate and honest and with honest feedback for fear or concern of retaliation. And so that's why I believe in both the qual and the quantitative.
Dee's teeing up another episode we're about to do. She's teeing up a next conversation we're going to have. So stay tuned. Yes.
But I think what you just shared is very insightful and not bad. It's not necessarily a jab at the company, to be quite honest. It's like, you know what? Because if I'm the leader of the company where the women are leaving and they're leaving for, as you painted a picture of a smaller firm or of just a different culture, then you know what? I don't need to be so defensive about like it's about me personally, right? I don't have to be defensive. I could just say, that's just not us. That's just not who we are, right? So knowing who we are as a company and as a leadership team, as a culture, then you know what? I'm going to cheer for the women who are leaving for making another decision based on what they want. But I'm also now better informed because what was ignorant is that I'm thinking they're staying home. First of all, let's talk about the micro macro aggressions on that. Okay. Boom, boom. So it's not personal, but sometimes our emotions and our feelings get so caught up when we are in us in our corporate jobs, I will say. Now I say us, but you know, so we don't do exit interviews in a formal way at Diverse and Engage. But we do have a process. So we have our HR, head of HR, and then we have our counsel. And so we do have, when we onboard folks, they are the go-to for anything that they may not be able to talk to me about. So we do have a formal process. And unfortunately, I did get an email and it blasts out an email, an employee, a disgruntled employee. She just read me for whatever. I mean, it was not that long ago. And so what's interesting is two people on my team said, Dee, don't read the email. So Dee, don't read the email.
Of course you read it.
I said, first of all, I said, no, I'm going to read the email because I knew that it was bad, but I also knew that it would be insight that I wanted to hear, right? Just her judgment or perception or experience. Now, I will tell you why I didn't read it immediately. I read the first line and I said, well, this part is true. And I knew what part was my responsibility and my fail. I did. And I told my team, I said, I'm going to be quite honest. This piece here is accurate and it's, and this is my fault or my responsibility. And I am going to save it and I'm going to read the rest of what she had to say. So it's not all bad. And I'm speaking as a leader, as you know, so for all of our people leaders here listening, it's okay. It's okay to put in place a process that allows us to listen, to hear about experiences and just how we can do better. So I do believe in the formal process. So, and it's not all bad. It's like, look, you're going to survive and you're going to fix it. Because guess what we did? I fixed some stuff in my company as a result. I did.
See, I want leaders to be taking notes on what Dee just said and the vulnerability that you had. Because we're all learning and growing. That's why we have this podcast, to share that with all of you. And so for you to say, I received this email and I actually took the time and space to read it, and now I'm executing against it. And listen, we've talked about this many a time at the Brown Tabletop podcast. Not all feedback is good feedback, right? Or not all feedback is relevant to you, but you can at least read it, honor what the person shared, and then decide what you want to take from it. But the not listening bothers me. The not, I don't even want to know. That's the trend. But let me, Dee, I want to bring it back to this, which is what you said earlier. So once upon a time, when I did have exit interviews, like I said, my last two jobs didn't have exit interviews, I was worried. I was worried as who I am and showing up at work. Should I be saying the truth in exit interviews? Or is it going to come back to haunt me, be against me? So there's the psychological safety, I think, particularly as you said, for Black women, I'll speak as a woman of color, that I don't know how that's going to be used against me or weaponized against me. Is it really anonymous? Is it not? And so one of the things I implemented at one company, which I worked with our general counsel to do and they approved, I actually reached out to people 6 months after they left to then do the exit interview. 6 months later, because I thought to myself, if someone reached out to me 6 months later, I have moved forward. I'm on my healing journey. I am doing what I need to do next in my life. And I might be in a better place to give more objective feedback, more balanced feedback. At least for me, the emotion might not be there. And so I was really surprised when I did this with my team at a company I worked at. You would be surprised by how many people 6 months later wanted to talk to us and gave us meaningful feedback. Like 6 months had passed and they said, yeah, I'd actually love to talk to you. And some really great insights. So that's another tip for leaders, thinking about how you can actually approach people a little after they have left.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Hi, I'm Tomer Korn, LinkedIn's Chief Product Officer. On my podcast, Building One, we dive deep into what it takes to build great products. Recently, we had Zach Perret, the CEO of Plaid, and he shared about his struggles building a financial app for consumers and how he was able to turn it all around with a critical pivot. Take a listen.
I personally couldn't resonate as much with the consumer set that we were trying to reach. I just didn't have that level of empathy. When we made the shift to building a B2B product, though, I was building the product that I wanted. My co-founder and I were creating the product that we wanted ourselves, and we had so much empathy for what that product was.
Such a great insight.
You know, in that sense, we got lucky because we were creating a thing for ourselves. And then the people that we were talking to also had the same problems we did. They were fintech developers. We'd been a fintech developer. We'd been trying to build a fintech product for a year. And so we had such deep empathy. We had such a clear ability to...
If you want to hear more of Zach Perret's story and the lessons that follow, listen and subscribe to my podcast, Building One.
I think the 6 month allows time and space to heal and learn and to, I want to say skim the top. What was the top 3, 5, either lessons, insights, and the real processing of why the transition without being so attached and emotional. Because so I think the 6 months is fair. But here's something else that I'll add to this. It is the responsibility of talent today when you're invited to an exit interview to share. It's typically not going to be 6 months when it's in a formal process. It's going to be company corporate process that'll happen. It'll happen immediately following. It's going to be a great leader like Amita who's going to follow up 6 months later. That's what happens because we all know when you leave the company, whether unfortunately, whether you transition to another role, you stay home or, you know, people who pass, you know what I'm getting at. But here's what I want to say. We have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to respond and to give feedback. But here's where there's a trend. There's a trend in not wanting to give the feedback. Like, I'm done. I've checked out and it's not worth it. And I don't want to contribute like to fixing what's wrong at company, former employer. I'm going to move on. So that is a thing, which is why I'm saying it's your responsibility to share and to share objectively, not emotionally, but objectively.
Or I'm going to go to Glassdoor and TikTok, LinkedIn. I'm going to post my exit interview there. I'm going to post my thoughts there, right? I'm going to share it. Actually, if you want to go look at exit interview data, go look at Glassdoor. It's all there. And there's extremes, right? Because this is like how I feel like social media has become. It's like very positive or very negative, right? And so those are the things that get a lot of traction. And so of course on Glassdoor, there's balance. Like there are really rough reviews about a certain company and then there are glowing reviews. And so there's a balance as you look at that. But you know what I'll say though? I think you brought this up, Dee. Oh, maybe the exit interview is canceled if you're not gonna do anything with the data. Because we are tired of being surveyed and asked what we think when we want to give you advice and perspective on how you can build more inclusive cultures and you actually don't care. So if you're going to bury the data, why go through the song and dance of doing the exit interview? I'll never forget one of the exit interviews I did have, which I was like, oh, this is fun. I met with an HR business partner. She had like a number two pencil and a notebook. Where is that going? Number two pencil and a notebook. Like, where is that data going? Was she just writing our grocery list in there? Like, what? Is she really actually capturing what I'm saying? I was like, all right, let me look at that. There's a grocery list. You're not writing down my feedback about this place. Number two pencil and a notebook.
That is hilarious. Why do I get the visual right now of that rule, that wide ruled notebook, the Cosmo, that black and white one? Like, oh my goodness. But here's what I'll add to this. So two thoughts. I think exit interviews, definitely not canceled. They're valuable, but they should be formal. But absolutely, I think senior executives' regrettable loss when the high-level leader or the high-value leader is leaving. Senior executives have a responsibility to reach out if there is no formal process and you get wind that Meeta Malik is transitioning and you don't make a call, that's shame on you at that level. And it's also, as a high level leader, same thing applies for, I'm going to say, the frontline, or I'm going to say the entry level. If you met that person on the way in, act as if it's the same. So you have some balance, right? Maybe you're not going to be able to have a conversation with everybody. I'm talking about high level leaders. I'm talking about not just process, but I'm talking about leadership. And so I do believe that's a break. I've seen that. I've seen high level leaders just leave it alone. So let's just say it's skip a level. So let's say you, Meeta, are the president and CEO, and maybe I'm a direct report to your direct report. You've got seven direct reports. I'm one level removed. If I'm leaving, I should hear from you. Yes or yes?
Yes. Yes and yes and yes.
Because what is your job? When you're president and CEO, your job is people. Your job as a leader, right? I mean, you have, no, seriously, if we could, let's just go there for a second. Your job, you're in the position, friend. You are president and CEO. Your job is leading the people. If I'm a direct report to your direct reports, okay? And you know me because you've seen me I've been in a meeting.
And you resigned and I don't even reach out to you. I don't even reach out to you.
Fail. Hashtag fail. Hashtag fail. Hashtag fail.
That happened to me so many times, Dee. Oh my God. And now these leaders coming around trying to slide into my LinkedIn DMs and, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, hey, when I resigned, I don't remember you reaching out. And in fact, I would be the person who would reach out to those senior leaders and they didn't respond.
Here's another thing. This might be for the parking lot. A lot of it is, I believe, the walls and the formal structure, the invisible structures of the institution. There are invisible and unspoken rules.
The throne and the crown.
The throne, yeah. Yeah. It's those invisible walls and that hierarchical structure and the rules that if you are my boss's boss, Meeta, then like I'm really not supposed to have a direct connect to you, and you reciprocate by not necessarily like you're talking to me through, right? And so I think that is often the break in the process and why, again, as an SLT, you're not getting a call from the president. SLT is senior leadership team, ELT, executive leadership team.
You know what it is, Dee? It is the old visual I have of the throne and the crown and the court and monarchy and how that shows up in corporate. And well, I am now the president and CEO and I sit in my corner office with a really great view and I have a couch in my own bathroom and a fridge and Dee's leaving. Oh, well Dee can come see me if she wants to talk to me. She can request an appointment in court. My court. And then I will say bye-bye to her, but I'm not reaching out to Dee.
And if you do, then whose office are we meeting? Sidebar, how about I'm watching The Crown right now because you didn't tell me that I was supposed to watch it and it's as juicy as, or really not as juicy as all of Shondaland's productions, like, you know, Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte. Okay, so I'm watching The Crown and that's exactly what happens when there's a meeting, okay?
You're like, summoned.
You're summoned. There you go.
Summoned like court, like legal U.S. court summons, but this is the monarchy we're talking about. I can't right now. We'll get into a whole conversation on colonialism, so I can't go there on the monarchy.
But I like that you really helped us to give it a little bit of color in terms of the system and how it works. And last thing before we move on, it's then if you wanted to call me because I'm leaving for this informal exit conversation, then you're probably going to tell my manager, or if I want to speak to you, like just the approval process and the system and the structure. So exit interviews, I think, again, should happen formal and informal. I think people leaders, executive leaders, and C-suite have a responsibility because their role as leaders are the people. To empower the people, support the people, equip the people. The people are, as a unit, responsible for delivering for the company. And so my role is the people. So exit interviews have to happen, whether they're painful or listen.
Even if you're pretending to write your grocery list in a number with a number two pencil in a notebook. All right, we're going to head over to tips. But sidebar, D, how did I miss the corner office movement? Because now, just as I was ready for the big promotion, they all went open seating. So, I missed the boat. No, I don't need a couch in the bathroom. I'm fine. Private couch in the bathroom. Okay, we're going to head over to tips, our friends. All right, Dee, well, here we are at the end. Our conversations fly by way too fast, but we were talking today about, do companies even do exit interviews anymore? And so here we are at tips. I'm going to hand it over to Dee for one and two, and I'll close this out with three.
Tip number one, exit interviews are not canceled. They are necessary and they are valuable. So if you have lost your way, go back now and make this process a priority, particularly in this season. Tip number two, leaders have a responsibility to be part of the exit process. So reach out. That's tip number two. Leaders reach out, have the conversation informally, and it helps to give context to whatever the process is formally. All right. So Mita, over to you for tip number three.
Tip number three, believe the data, believe the exit interview data. Do not bury it. You'll find so many rich and powerful insights on how you can be building a more inclusive and resilient culture. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you to the LinkedIn Podcast Network. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please leave a review, subscribe, and share with someone who needs to hear it today. And we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.